That is from
Blessed.
I
want to
shout hallelujah. So,
let me hear you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Well, glory, right?
Amen.
And you do feel like that. So
I've said it many a time in myself.
Just
not to be.
You can be down and defeated, and discouraged, and disillusioned. Everything, and then you sing this hymn like that.
Johnny Carter.
And it really makes you feel close to the Lord. Amen. So thankful for it. Thank you, O Father, for this great hymn and for the words of it. And thank you, Lord, that you inspired this man to write it.
Amen.
And inspired Brother Fruit to include it in this book of Psalms and hymns. We're here to praise your name this morning. And Lord, we're sad on the one hand that there's only a few of us, but on the other hand, we're glad that you are with us, and that makes everything right. So just bless this morning, we pray, and help us to not only worship thee, but to understand and to rejoice in and believe in and trust in everything that your word says to us today. And we pray and trust that it will say much to us today. Again, we do not understand all the things of how you work, as we've already mentioned. Work in mysterious ways, as someone said, again, thy wonders to perform. We certainly see that every day in our everyday lives. The Lord work here today, and we do pray for those who should be here and that could not be here and are not here with us. May you work also hearts in their lives, to bring them to a more complete understanding and rejoice in you, in your word, and in all of these great hymns. We thank you for Christ. It's because of him that we have what we have, and Lord, that we have the hope for brighter things. Today and tomorrow and the next day. So just be with us here and bless your word that is coming forth. And again, give us understanding and wisdom through it that we might be able to face the things of this world and of this time. It is in many ways a desperate time, but on the other hand, is also a time of great expectation. Who would not be expecting and rejoicing that they would soon see Jesus? Thank you for him and receive us in his name. Amen. All right. Let's talk about something this morning that I thought about for a long time. Luke chapter 10.
What did you say about
Luke? The Gospel of Luke.
I've been reading that.
We'll read in Luke, and then we'll read also in Ephesians chapter 5. So we can, I guess, go ahead and turn over there. And if you've got two fingers, you can keep both places at the same time. Luke chapter 10, verse 3. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. That's not a very good thing, is it?
Not really.
It's kind of a mismatch there.
Yeah,
that's a scary thing.
Wolves are the natural enemies of sheep. And how vulnerable are sheep to wolves? And especially lambs. Have you ever dealt with a lamb? Just, you know, they're for all practical purposes helpless. They're babies, and they have, as far as I know, a sheep has no defense. And God made them that way, that they have no defense. As the lamb before the slaughter, right? It depicts Christ, of course, but it's so amazing, again, that this animal God made with no defense. And Christ put himself in that very position of having no defense. Now, he could have, right? Isn't that what he said? I could pray my Father and he would send, what, 12?
12
to fight for him. But he submitted himself unto all that he endured willingly. But we'll go over Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, like I said, I thought about this a lot of times, Our image, for the most part, I believe, of Christ's love to the church is that he's just going to keep us from all harm and danger, and everything's going to be, come up roses. That, we're not really supposed to suffer in adverse conditions. Our image of Christ's love to the church, I believe, again, is so colored by worldly romanticism. And don't get me wrong, I believe there's a place for romance in marriage. I believe that with all my heart. But for the most part, life is not like that. Marriage is not like that. Christ's relationship to the church is not like that. More, it is like sending us out to the wolves, among the wolves. It's an amazing thing. When I think about this, I think, what kind of love is that? And if we as husbands are to love our wives as Christ loved the church, are we not going to bring those wives with us along the way? And if we love Christ and submit ourselves unto his love, then we are not going to be money grubbing over all of that. We're not going to be complaining over it. And that reminds me of the people of Israel coming up out of the land of Egypt, out of the bondage of Egypt. God said, you complain this 10 times. 10 times. And that was not an easy journey that those people were making. I mean, the first thing is, God scared them to death because here they were, the Red Sea was before them. They had no boats. They didn't even have a life jacket, did they? They had nothing. And here's the whole Egyptian army coming up behind them. Talk about being between a rock and a hard spot. I mean, they were. And, you know, we have a tendency to say, well, you know, pity those people. But they really weren't to be pitied, were they? Because when it came right down to it, God parted that Red Sea, and the people of Israel went across as up on dry land. But the Egyptians, the same, to do the same thing, were completely, absolutely, totally wiped out. God told Moses, you shall see them again. No more. They're gone. Well, ultimately, regardless of what Christ sends us out into in this world, it's essentially the same thing, isn't it? Are there going to be hardships? Of course there are. In fact, Peter says that we are called to this, right? We're called to it. Now, again, in this life, every woman that marries a man can look for certain amounts or a certain, is that the right word? Amount? I guess it's okay. Certain amount of this suffering along with her husband. For whatever that husband encounters, that wife is going to encounter it too. It's just inevitable that way. And so it is with Christ, right? Whatever Christ suffered, what can we expect? He is our head. He is our husband. We are espoused to Him. And so whatever it is, and He tells us that straight out, doesn't He? Sure He does. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they do this in a green tree, what are they going to do in the dry tree? And so on and on it goes. And as long as we are in this world, that's what we're going to be. We're going to be sheep or lambs among the wolves. It can't be any other way. Now, what is the wisdom of God in this? Well, one thing is, it's just to show His mighty power in His people. First of all, to keep us believing. Is it hard to believe in God when He is seemingly answering the prayers of the unrighteous and not answering yours?
Yeah, it's kind of hard. Well, I tell you, no.
If it were not for the Holy Ghost, you would perish. It's hard to be persecuted by the world. It's hard to endure their snide remarks. It's hard to endure their reproach of Christ, against Christ. It's hard for a child of God to bear these things. It's a type of persecution because it persecutes your soul. But God has sent us, Jesus has sent us out into the world as lambs among wolves. I don't know how much more of a dramatic expression there could be than that. It's as though you know they're there. You know what they're capable of. And you know that if they had half the chance, they would rip you apart. Amen. But God does preserve us, right?
Amen.
But we're going to suffer. The bride of Christ is going to suffer until the day that Christ ends this world.
Get it all over. Well, he comes back not as a lamb, but as a lion.
Yeah.
He goes from one extreme to the other.
But until he comes back as a lion, what is he? He's the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
And so we have this picture again. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, the husband is supposed to do that. He's supposed to give himself for the wife. But it's for what purpose? Well, we go to the next verse there in Ephesians chapter 5, and we see that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, for he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, again, it's all a picture of Jesus and the church, right? We get down to the bottom of this in verse 33. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. But the reality in this world, as long as we're in this world, there's going to be tribulation, right?
Persecution.
There's going to be persecution. There's going to be trials. There's going to be testing. There's going to be
hardships.
Well, hardships, yeah. How many other adjectives can we use to describe it? But the point is, again, that we as God's church, his people, we're going out into the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so there is just a certain amount of inevitable problems that are going to arise, if not on a daily basis, then almost on a daily basis. Now, sometimes again, I think it was Mark Webb that preached one time up in St. Louis, and he was lamenting the fact that it seemed like he wasn't being persecuted. And sometimes I understand what he's saying. Because I think most of us would have to confess that we have suffered minor persecution.
Absolutely.
And what persecution we have suffered, it's been more of the mental variety.
Amen.
It certainly hasn't been the physical variety. Now, again, the mental variety sometimes can get pretty intense. But nevertheless, it's not like the physical. It's not as hard as the physical can get anyway. Because we know that it can go as far as to the blood. Now, the writer of Hebrews touches upon this in that 12th chapter, right? In verse 3, it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Now, evidently, the people that was being directly addressed here had not suffered the persecution that some of the church had already gone through. What about Stephen? Summoned to death, right?
Nearly all of them.
And so, you know, we look at it, and he goes on, though. He says, "Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now, again, these two verses right here, these last two verses, could give us some idea as just what chastisement is. Chastisement evidently can go as far as shedding of blood, your blood, my blood. Isn't that what he's saying here? You've not yet resisted unto blood, and then you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Sometimes we ought to be concerned about who we are. And yet, who knows what we are going to endure yet. But whatever we endure as husbands, the wives are going to have to endure too. Doesn't matter what it is, does it? "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?" Now the Father is supposed to love the Son, right? Did God the Father love God the Son?
Absolutely.
But what did He ask the Son to do?
The same thing that happened with Abraham and Isaac.
Oh, far above that.
Yeah, but for fleshly
reasons. Just a type or a shadow.
It sure hit me when I read it. So how could that be?
The thing that the Father did was He asked the Son to be forsaken of the Father. Now, you know, I don't, as we were talking earlier, how do you put that into a concept?
Right.
We have the word of Christ when He was forsaken. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Who has ever known being totally, absolutely forsaken of God? Again, this ought to give us a clue as to what hell really is.
I've got enough clues to know in first to think of any of your loved ones going there, but the response will be done.
So here's, again, here's the question. To be sent out in as lambs among the wolves, how is that love? How would that be classified as love? That's a hard question for me to answer, really. Except that, once again, it is to prove the power of God. As the Apostle says, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
I mean, would we all take great comfort in knowing the infinite wisdom of God in all these things? And that's pretty much where I leave it, not really understanding it, but the fact that it, whatever happens, happens by God's decree, and there's not a one of us that has the mind of God in purity and in holiness and in righteousness. It's going to happen, but not in this life.
You see through a glass darkly.
Yeah, and so there are, I mean, I think we all hear things, see things, know things, that we struggle with them, and we just have to bow to the perfect, infinite wisdom of God, and that encompasses His love and holiness. I mean, there's something there. That, I mean, does the love come out of the holiness? I think so. And it's just, I thank God that we can sit here and talk about it.
Amen. Right. So Paul goes on when he says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He says we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed.
Yes.
We are perplexed, though we're not in despair.
Okay.
Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord.
There's your answer.
That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. But this is the thing that, again, that you see that marriage today is void of. The idea again today is, you know, well, God's in control. Well, what is He in control of? If God that sends us as lambs among the wolves, He's controlling that, isn't He?
Sure.
But when most people talk about God being in control of everything, their mindset is not that God is sending us forth among the wolves, but their mindset is that God's chasing all the wolves away. But that's not the case. Take Job, for instance. But Job's wife, what did she say?
Curse God and die.
Why don't you just curse God and die? Well, if it had been one of those three, as J.D. calls them, Baptist brethren, they probably would have. I mean, it's hard, again, to even conceive of the misery that Job was in at that particular time. So, but here, you know, God opens all of this up to us. And in all of our trials and troubles and tribulations and testings and all of that, it still is the love of God. But marriages, again, today, for the most part, thankfully there's still a few otherwise, but for the most part, oh, it's roses and chocolate candy.
That's right. The men say yes, ma'am.
So, what do we get out of this? Well, again, everything's backwards. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is. It's bad. Children, obey your parents. How about that one? No. It is. There is a generation, right, that cursed their father and does not bless their mother. So, what else does God ask us to do besides sending us forth as lambs among the wolves and many other dangers? are there? Well, of course, that one pretty well depicts the whole government of things, the gathering of things,
right?
But how many millions of God's people have been tortured to death, starved to death, killed with the sword? You see again, here is the 13th chapter of the Revelation. Here's the patience of the saints. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. So what a wonderful thing it is, really, to think about on the one hand, but we need to realize that these things are real. And husbands need to realize the responsibility that they have towards their wives to love them as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But the wife needs to understand also that she is obligated to follow the husband because she is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And whatever her husband experiences, she is going to experience it. And as the husband, if he is a true child of God, he is going to take joyfully all of those trials and tribulations and persecutions, and that wife is going to take that with him in the same attitude. And together, they're both going to take everything of circumstance that God puts them in, and they're going to take it without murmuring and complaining. Now, this doesn't mean, again, that there's not going to be some hardships, and it's not going to all be laughing and joking and carrying on. But it's going to be hard. And so, that's what the Apostle tells Timothy. Endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other comments?
I'm just thinking, there's a whole lot of teaching in the scriptures that we're told to know and to obey, and what love is, and we fall short of how, whenever I get to studying, I see it's convicting. Be faith in the Lord, help. I guess I've got a question that I'm not supposed to ask at all. But it's just like with what's going on, you see things that are not right, and you've seen in the past, take mobile home companies, for instance. That's the question now that is disturbing to me. Well, whatever they do and whatever they say, regardless of, you see that, and you know the history of telling you one thing and not doing it. And like Bruce here, our good going through all of that stuff. You know, you're told one thing and you get your lesson. Are you not supposed to stand up and talk to these people and make them aware that they need to be truthful? They're dealing with Christians and God protects his people. I don't have to do anything. I'm not going to do anything to anybody, but they need to know and hear. Or
there's something wrong with not condoning error, but you cannot do it.
Well,
and we're all tend to do that.
Well,
we tend to be overzealous in our approach.
All I ask for is that.
But in the end, that's part of turning the extra cheek and walking that extra mile forth and so on. And if they sue you at the court for your cloak, give them your cloak also. That's hard for a flesh to do.
It is.
But it's still. That's God's directive to us. And God will judge. And so, I mean, Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah and vexed his righteous soul daily with the unlawful deeds of the wicked. And that we do that today. It vexes our soul, but nevertheless, we're here. And one of these days, God will lead us out of this.
Amen.
All of this.
Praise the Lord.
So, it's hard. Oftentimes, I've seen situations where I would, I'd like to tear into some of these people and literally beat them up, I guess you'd say.
The fact that you've been pretty strong on some words sometimes.
You've got to be kind.
And
ultimately, what it all boils down to is our pride. That's it.
It really is it.
Follow peace with all men and holiness.
He was at the point
he committed himself unto him that judges righteously.
But read his sermons. You know, he didn't miss any. Well, I'm not going to say this because that's going to cause that person to hate me, or I'm not going to say this. That's fine. Guess where we
are. All right. Just don't let your pride overrule the Spirit of Christ. And that's what it amounts to.
And a proverb that has really helped me throughout my Christian walk is, only by pride cometh contention. And so, you know, it's kept me out of a lot of trouble and embarrassment and sin.
Well, after all, I mean, what is this world and all of its things?
I've kind of been thinking about that here lately, simply because, really, the only thing that really is important is Christ and our relationship to Him. And we can take joy in that. Everything else is going to perish or is a little worth. But that, they can't no one can take that away from you. And it's just a joy to think about. And guess what? It doesn't cost anything.
But there is this thing about being hearers of the word and doers of the word.
Well, that's the biggest part of that is to suppress the pride that's in us.
I know.
And
we got to know the word.
Again, having therefore food and raiment, let us be there with content. And you know, your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. So take no thought for tomorrow, but for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's all. You don't need to be worrying about tomorrow. You got enough to worry about today.
Amen.
So,